Santa's sleigh. When you're a kid, the Christmas story about Bethlehem and the birth in the stable is a lot less compelling than Santa Claus and what he might bring you. And I doubt many kids care about the link between the two stories. My dad was a car mechanic. He and Mum grew up in the Depression, but in a small town like Prescott, I guess it might not have been so bad if you didn't expect too much. Anyway, when I came along just before World War II started, he'd been working a few years in his uncle's garage and could fix most cars and trucks and tractors around the area, as well as a few boat engines and other machinery. With me and then my sister Jean, he was in no hurry to enlist, and didn't have to. But come the middle of the war, there's a need for mechanics, and he ends up in the RCAF as what they called a fitter. That's really a mechanic for aero engines. He was at Trenton for well over a year, so he and Mum saw each other on and off, and I remember him home, I think twice before they shipped him overseas. Of course, a lot of what I think I remember may be created from what people said later or written down somewhere. We'd get letters, and Mum was pretty worried, especially when it was clear he'd be part of the invasion force. He was assigned to the Tactical Air Force, and was working on Hawker Typhoons with the big Napier Sabre engine. Double the power of the Spitfire's Merlin, with 24 cylinders. A powerful beast, but we learned later a horribly temperamental one. And an average 19-hour service life. If it was a car engine, that's less than a drive to Windsor and back. But in Canada all we got was how wonderful all our planes were and how skilled the pilots. Dad was away for Christmas 1943, then Christmas 1944. We had other family, but there was somehow this big hole in the picture. I'm only a kid, but even if the details aren't revealed, you know something's wrong, and you've a pretty good idea what it's about. Then sometime late in January 1945 we get a letter from Dad, but it's got a different return address, the service unit number, from his Squadron 1. And Dad's been wounded. Apparently on the morning of January 1st, the German Luftwaffe threw everything they had at the Allied air bases. Dad was at Eindhoven, he told us later, and they lost 141 aircraft on the ground. The Germans even used their new Messerschmitt 262 jets to strafe the airfield. Hell, we didn't even know what a jet was back then. Dad picked up a machine gun bullet in his leg. Said he was lucky it wasn't a cannon shell. The 20mm cannon shells were usually explosive, and he'd have been dead. As it was, he was pretty badly hurt. He lost the leg just below the knee, and it wasn't very easy for the surgeons to tidy up. His letter had been upbeat and cheerful, but several decades later I know it hid a lot of suffering and worry. He ended up having several operations to make it possible to have a prosthetic fitted, then healing time, so it was pretty late in 1945 before he was fit enough to travel home. We got quite a few letters over that year, he had plenty of time to write, so we heard from him pretty often, and he put in a bit just for me and another just for Jeannie. These bits he printed. I was only in grade 2 and just learning to read and write. Jeannie was too young to read, or perhaps even understand what was read to her then, but she really treasures those letters now. Then we got the letter that he'd be coming home, hopefully by Christmas. Of course, there were the inevitable foul-ups, and it started to look doubtful he'd make it in time, but we started to prepare anyway. Mum was nervous, I think she wasn't sure who would come home. He could be a stranger now, even if the letters seemed to be from the same dad we'd known. A further letter told us he'd be on the SS Letitia, a passenger ship converted to a hospital ship and now mostly for returning servicemen to Canada, though perhaps they kept some of the medical facilities to make it easier with wounded men like Dad. There wasn't a schedule, but then on December 23, Sunday morning, we get a telegram from Halifax that the ship has landed and he'll be on a train arriving Christmas Eve. We get down to the station in the late afternoon. Of course we're there early. My Uncle Joe has driven us in the big pre-war Packard he'd managed to build out of about 3 wrecked ones he'd picked up somewhere. It had snowed about an inch on the 19th, but now there's just a few flakes in the darkening afternoon. We stamp about on the cold platform, waiting and waiting. Finally down the line I see the big center light of the locomotive. If this were 5 years later, I'd talk of Rudolph and his red nose, except that song hasn't been written yet, and the light was yellowy-white anyway. And the red lights at the back of the train. Then we hear the long whistle and after a bit the bell of the slowing train. And as the big Hudson locomotive snorts steam and screeches the brakes, I can't help thinking that the six big driver wheels are the reindeer and the train is the sleigh. The engineer leans out of the cab, and he even has a white beard. Probably one of the retirees brought back when younger men went in the services. There are just a few passengers for Prescott, and we watch for Dad. It takes a long time, seemingly forever. We wonder if he's not on the train, but nobody wants to say anything. Jeannie is fidgeting. I'm thinking I'm unhappy and want to cry, but no, I mustn't. The conductor has put a stool by one of the steps. Then a figure appears stepping down awkwardly with a stick. Someone lifts out a big kit bag and a pair of crutches. But the man with the stick leaves the bag and crutches on the platform and resolutely takes a couple of steps towards us as we all run to him.